Hey there, coffee lovers. Do you want to make your morning cup of Joe something special? Let's talk about Joe Bean Coffee, a gem right here in Rochester. I'm Chris Lindstrom, host of the Food About Town podcast and co-founder of Lunchador. I've been a longtime fan of Joe Bean. Kathy, Dina, and the whole team are passionate about their coffee and this city, and it comes through in every cup of Joe Bean Coffee that I brew at home. Joe Bean has been a part of Rochester for years, over a decade, building lasting community and a sense of belonging for everyone who loves coffee. Next time you need beans, head over to Joe Bean's Roastery at 565 Blossom Road in Rochester or shop online at joebeanroasters.com. Even better, subscribe to Joe Bean's Perpetual Joy and you'll receive freshly roasted beans on your schedule and never be without your favorite coffee. Joe Bean is more than just coffee. It's a community, a commitment, and a cup full of care.
Hey everyone, thanks for listening. Quick note before we begin the show today. You're going to hear us talk about a fun topic and a serious topic, but the fun topic, which is a great conversation, ended up taking us about 50 minutes, and so the episode ended up going a little long if we added the serious topic. So we've cut that out for today, and we're going to release it as its own episode in the future. It is a kind of heady topic, and so we want to be able to do it justice, and we'll probably record a little more conversation on it. Again, thanks for listening, and as always, enjoy your coffee. Welcome to Dialed In. I'm Wade Reed, your resident expert on the Thor movies, apparently.
And I'm Aaron Pascucci, your resident expert on being Wade's assistant.
And I am not Thor, but I am here tonight.
That's our producer, Chris Lindstrom.
Oh, hi.
And thanks for joining us. We have a few fun things to talk about.
We have some great stuff.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know where we want to start.
What have you been up to this week?
What have I been up to? Like, same thing I'm always up to. Like, same thing we do every night, Pinky.
Take over the brain.
Yeah.
Trying to
roast some coffee.
Did you catch what I said?
Let me see. Take over some,
Take over the brain.
The brain.
Yeah.
Let's see. Wow. Things that happened this week. Okay, so this was cool. Y'all know Vivian Rivers, barista at Ugly Duck, alumnus of Behind the Glass.
Yeah.
Shout out to those characters. Thor would be in Behind the Glass.
Yeah, just with something like completely obscure, just
blast the wall with lightning and call it art.
Yeah, out of focus, something definitely lens flare. Yeah. Lots of lens flare. HDR black and white with
Snyder
lens flare.
That's more Snyder than Gunn, though. I don't know.
That's fair.
Wait, I just saw your post. You reposted something she did recently.
So Rory wants to do like highlighting their local partnerships, which is super cool. Rory, the owner of Ugly Duck, wants to do highlighting local partnerships, and they came over and took some photos of my new PA Carson doing some Ugly Duck Shop blend bags, and so that was a good time. That was a really good time, except that don't underestimate how much of a cave a roastery is.
It is such a cave.
Because then when anyone's there, I'm just like go in this talkative mode where I'm like, oh, there's somebody here, you know, and I'm like. I took forever doing like a really simple roast day just cause, and I was there till like 8 when I could have easily been done by like 3 or 4 just cause like, ooh, I have someone to, you know, talk about all this coffee nonsense with. And, at some point we'll have to cover the topic that I covered with Vivian, which is, they got a coffee sample in at Ugly Duck that had a purple honey designation.
Sure.
What? Right. And I'm just like. Okay, if I were to guess what this is, I think I know what this is, but it's really a topic for another time because we've got some ground to cover tonight. Yeah. So, Aaron, what have you been up to?
I got back from Toronto and I saw Nine Inch Nails on I'm going to guess is one of their last tours.
How was it?
It was excellent, but having seen them, you know, roughly 10 years ago, he's lost some energy.
Was that at Air Canada?
It was at Scotiabank.
Yes, it was Air Canada. Yeah, hockey stadium. Yep.
Yep. But I had something interesting happen. Two interesting things. My wife bought the hotel and I bought the tickets. And those two things did not line up.
No, the hotel's way more expensive than a ticket.
Well, neither did the dates apparently for us.
Oh, no.
I was implying that she bought the hotel.
Yeah, that she bought the more expensive
thing. No, I mean the actual hotel.
Oh, yes.
Which is way more expensive than the tickets.
Yeah. So I had to figure out how to stay an extra night and get home the next day because she had to drive home. So that was fun. But then on the way home, I was Googling merch. And I dabble in graphics, right? So I was like, hey, there was a lot of pre-release stuff that they did. And it was all kind of garbage. And so a lot of fans were like kind of designing their own take on stuff. So I posted something on Reddit and was like, hey, what do you guys think of this? And hadn't really thought too much about it. So I Googled merch on the way home. Somebody stole my design.
Wow.
Like, wow. It came up as a Google search and it's for sale on eBay already.
That's nuts. I mean,
good job.
I suppose.
I mean, isn't it?
I suppose it's a little bit flattering.
It's a little bit flattering. But, and it's like, but it's like at the same time, it's like this was some effort because this was like one post on a subreddit, right? So that was my big week.
Nice.
All right. I mean, that's a fun trip, though.
That's a lot of week.
I mean, like, that's, yeah. I wish I'd gone to see a concert.
And Toronto's a great place to go visit. Amazing food. And just a great place to hang out for a day or two.
Yes. I got lost looking for coffee on that one day.
Yeah.
You guys been to Union Station?
Yep. Were you trying to find Pilot down there?
I was. I did not realize it was underground when I was searching for it.
Oh, yeah. That'll ruin your entire trip trying to find something in Toronto.
If it's underground?
Oh, yeah. It's not clear on the maps, on Google Maps, that it's underground.
At all.
How could they, right? Like,
it's really, like, until you know, it's like, oh, this completely ruined my entire ability to find this. Yeah, and it's a fine specialty coffee shop. Sure. My preferred shop there has unfortunately closed. Called Third Wave Coffee.
I'm kidding.
That place was my place, but cool. You know, it was, you know, Toronto's an amazing, you know, it's an amazing town. Coffee scene is robust, but I don't, you know, it doesn't always hit what I like, but it's still a great place to bounce around because you can get to a ton of different places.
Pilot has probably my favorite cold brew cans.
Really?
Oh, I can see that.
I was really down with those, and like we bought one just because we were walking around all day. So we went to the shop, we got coffee, walking around with this cold brew can, and I absolutely had to go back for a 4-pack for the drive home because it was just, I loved it. Yeah. And I don't know what they do with it. And obviously things like that is probably not super consistent. And so like by now it might be completely different because this was years ago. But yeah, shout out to Pilot for that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm going to suggest that we take one quick break before we get into it.
Sure.
Do we want to start serious or do we want to start fun?
Yes.
I thought we were going to start with John Cena.
Let's start fun. All right. Let's take a quick break and cue up John Cena.
Hello, listeners. This is Richard B. Colon reminding you all to check out the Behind the Glass Gallery podcast hosted by myself and Kwajay Donnell. Every month, we interview the latest First Friday featured gallery artists and dive deep into their passion, drive, and motivation beyond what they display on our gallery walls each month in downtown Rochester, New York. So please, if you haven't yet, subscribe and give us a listen. Also, don't forget to check out our monthly artist receptions every first Friday of the month from 6 to 8 p.m. 240 East Main Street at the Mercantile on Main. Hoping to see you all behind the glass.
And we are back. And for this segment, we're going to switch to special flat white correspondent John Cena.
I'm John Cena!
What? What is...
Yes.
What is that from?
Have you not heard that before?
No. Man, that's good.
It's a classic. So as an unabashed wrestling fan...
I forgot.
Yeah. Oh, so that's a kid who's doing John Cena's intro music on a recorder, and that clip went viral around the wrestling community for a while.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Wouldn't it be awesome if he came out to that one time? Like if he actually came down the ramp to that?
Yeah, I mean he's just coming off of his heel run.
Which
was, you know, an interesting experiment.
He like betrayed. So who did he?
Betrayed like, Cody Rhodes during
Cody Rhodes
during
right,
WrestleMania yep, yep. where he had won the Royal Rumble, and went into that. This is the first time that Cena had ever done a heel run as a bad guy. First time ever. He wasn't always like a pure, like, good guy He was often
a classical good guy, more of like the modern era kind of good guy.
He was, right? You know, he was a little edgy and he had that, you know, the Doctor of Thugonomics thing going on where he was rapping, wearing chains, and he had a spinner title belt.
Right.
It was a whole thing. But this is the first time he'd ever been a heel, and it was a very interesting run, but people were still trying to cheer him because this is his last year wrestling.
Yeah.
And people were so excited to see him that they were still cheering him.
So it didn't really come off?
Yeah, and they booed him. Like, he was going after kids. And, like, this is a guy who has, like, you know, the most make-a-wishes granted ever.
And he made people hate him.
Oh, yeah. And, like, he was, like, taunting kids for being marks. And, like, it was a lot of stuff like, oh, this is like a toxic relationship, using a lot of psychology talk.
Wow.
So it was really going into reality. It was a fascinating run.
Yeah, that's really where's the line kind of thing.
Yeah, it was a lot of that. And speaking of performance.
Yeah, I was going to say, and now he's drinking coffee.
And so this is part of John Cena's heel run.
All right, and here we go.
Here we have an American version of a flat white. I can tell because it's too big and there's too much milk and the milk's not steamed. The reason I love a flat white is because coffee is a universal language throughout the world. So I will judge a place based on its flat white. Some people misinterpret flat white, but that's also how I can be like, oh, this place isn't a real coffee shop, or this isn't coffee first. A lot of places are food first, coffee is an accoutrement.
Can I share with you that this is from the Condé Nast Cafe?
It's obvious that they are not coffee first, because it would be in a smaller...
That's harsh.
Right. 6 ounces or less, probably 5, 6. This is more to the 8 side. Think of the difference, or like the in-between of a cappuccino, a foamless cappuccino or a cortado, and a latte. The best flat whites I've had are in Australia, Melbourne, Australia. They are coffee-first people. The term flat white, everyone has a different interpretation of it, which is why I order a flat white instead of a latte, because I want to see what I'm served. Now, I'm going to take a sip of this. It looks a little too milky.
As long as you're going to shut up, dude.
I would say that this is a shot of espresso with 8 ounces of milk. Here's another catch with the flat white. It's a double shot. So you get a little more strong coffee taste and a little less milk, which is why I like that 6 ounces, because you should see a cappuccino cup in my hand. It disappears, and a cappuccino is like one sip.
All right. Can we talk about the cappuccino cup thing to start with?
Well, sure.
Why? Sure. It's a bigger cup than he's drinking. Why does it disappear in his hand?
Oh, uh-oh. No.
Reddit. Next clip, it's what TikTok. It's TikTok.
TikTok. Oh, yeah. Algorithm took over. So, yeah.
Did I miss something here? Because it's possible I did. But
what's he calling a cappuccino if it's smaller than a flat white? Yeah. No, I don't know.
Okay.
That in a way gets to the heart of my critique. And I should say, like, I love Cena. I can't wait to watch Peacemaker. I just got back on HBO Max and I'm excited to watch Peacemaker. So I've heard great things. I have no criticism of Cena the man.
So you sent me this and I watched just, it, and you don't often send me clips like this. What was going through your head when
I
you saw it?
I raged and I wrote such a mean, don't Wikipedia coffee. That you can't do that.
Well, I have thoughts, but what was the part that made you discontented?
Several things.
This is your outlet. This is your platform.
I want to be measured, because I literally deleted my comment before I posted it because I was so angry and there were so many words.
And where did you find it the first?
Just on Instagram.
Okay. From Bon Appetit or from?
I have no idea. I don't know.
For those who know, this was posted on Bon Appetit's Instagram.
There you go. And Condé Nast is their parent company. So like they're saying it's from our parent company's cafe.
Right.
Right. And so which he promptly just shits all over. Right. So like I think where I want to start is coffee is a universal language, but there are lots of different interpretations. I'm like, it's one or the other, dude. It's either a thing you interpret or it's universal. And I'll tell you right now, it's a thing you interpret, because there's no standardization in coffee. Like we've talked about this before. Yeah. Like, and it's a problem. It's it causes someone like me a problem.
Well, especially in volumetric milk drinks.
Yeah.
There is not consistent. One definition.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, and like, well, I just go so crazy thinking about the names of these things because like, doesn't latte, am I crazy here? Does it not just mean milk?
Nope, it just means milk.
And if you walk in and order, can I have a milk? You get an espresso with milk. like I'm just, so the names are designed to be whatever someone wants to sell under that name.
So we were just talking. I don't know if I was on after I went to Italy, but in trying to be a good tourist, I was trying to learn some Italian.
Sure.
And to order a latte, it's cafe con leche. Like, that's it. There's no, like, double. There's no triple. There's no, like, cappuccino wasn't really even a thing. Like, that's what they teach you, cafe con leche.
Yeah, and there's so many different, like, the definition part and the purism around the definition of a volumetric milk drink seems to be the last hill I'd want to die on.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and, like, foamless cappuccino. So he's saying a flat white shouldn't have foam, but I'm like, actually a flat white, in a really good flat white, the foam is properly, it's microfoam and it's properly integrated. This, I mean, and this is a thing that like I've encountered 1,000 times over on the bar where people think a drink doesn't have foam because it's well integrated. It's microfoam that's well integrated into the drink. And so it doesn't sit on top of the drink like dishwater.
Yeah,
like,
right. It's not like big bad foam. Bubbles. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And just making people understand that there is foam, like John Cena, there's foam in your flat white. Like, don't call it foamless. Like so.
Wait, are you saying that John Cena can't see the foam?
Yeah, he just, this is Cena foam.
Cena foam?
Cena foam.
Oh gosh, this is going to be a thing.
I think one of the things that also gets to me is, and I want to, I'm going to caveat this later, but I judge a coffee place on this one thing.
Yep.
I have a preconceived notion in my head, and because I've been to Melbourne where, yeah, there's probably lots of great coffee, and like maybe in certain communities there's a little more standardization of what, you know, like here we call this a flat white. You know, if
sure.
There was for a minute, like in Rochester, a standardization developing around a cortado, which I think
was a drink that
doesn't exist in my mind. Like, I'm like, sure. That's just, really? You made that up. Like, that is, yeah. And I even had a conversation about this yesterday where someone was like, well, Ugly Duck's the only one who does a Gibraltar. And I'm like, that's a cortado. Like,
well, and you know, it's funny. So I saw this and I looked up milk drinks, and because I had all these names floating around in my head. First of all, it's funny that you say that it was standardized around Rochester, because I found out about it somewhere, and what's his name? Mitch. What's Mitch's last name? He was a drummer. He's at Fuego, but Mitch, that's all I know you as when we were working together at Whole Latte, right. Love, my friend. But he told me about it, right? And so I would go order those because it was like, for me, perfect ratios of milk and espresso. And then come to find out, like you said, Gibraltar, it's a cortado in a specific glass, yeah, is what exactly. The internet says.
Exactly. The Gibraltar glass was what cortados were often. And you see how these things develop and mutate and whatnot. And I'm fine with it. I accept it. If I order something and it's not what I want, I just go, that's their interpretation of the thing. I don't need coffee to be a universal language. I'm a realist enough, and I've been in the industry long enough to know that like there's no standardization. So like, I judge this is I think the thing that grates on me the most, because it's like what you are judging is really whether they know what you came in with in your head, first of all. However, this is the caveat, and this is important for me. It's important for me personally because I think this is something I have to continually remind myself. A lot of people don't want to walk into a coffee shop or any environment like a coffee shop, be it a brewery, be it a cocktail bar, be it a lot of restaurants too, and be intimidated.
Sure.
And not know what they're talking about. And so there are so many things around which you can fake expertise.
Yep.
And be just committed to your one thing so that either the person in front of you says, I love that thing too. It's this and this and this. And you can be in your element, or you have something to sort of bludgeon that person with and go like, you don't know what that is. You don't like that. How can you even be a coffee place? You know, like, so it's that I judge by thing that I'm just like, if you could just drop that, this would make me half as angry. But like, yeah, my original comment was full of choice words. I just, it really bugs me, but I also understand, like, yeah, let's, I think it does point out a problem where we need to do more to make people less intimidated, but in
I
order
think you're right.
But what, I mean, I don't know.
Well, here's the other thing that I've been thinking about, you know, as long as I've been in the enthusiast area, the enthusiast trends have been coming and going, and right now it's flat white, right? I mean, Starbucks introduced this and all of a sudden it's everywhere.
Yeah.
And
well, they introduced it in the US. It was really an Australian thing as the core of it.
Yeah,
was
and
it,
I think I saw
it Australia
it on,
or London, because it caught in London pretty early on too.
It was London,
like James
or
Hoffman was talking about.
It was London or Australia where it really came on vogue, and often you'll see it come into a city through an Australian style cafe.
There you go. Yeah. And there's nothing wrong.
But my point being, like, in Rochester, like, a year ago, there were no flat whites. Like, you didn't walk into a cafe and it wasn't on the menu. Maybe if the person knew what you were talking about, they would make you one. But, like, it wasn't a thing. And now, like, you can walk into, like, at least two or three cafes I know and it's on the menu in print, right? Yeah.
Like, anymore, I just say, like, when I was on the bar for a minute, like, in the first few months of AMFM, it was just like, I can make you something like that.
Yeah.
You know, like, do you do this? I'm like, I can make you something like that. And then it's like, maybe I'm going to meet your perception, maybe not. If I put that on my menu, I'm still rolling the same dice.
Yeah.
I'm still saying, maybe I'll meet your perception, maybe I won't, right? So, like, there's nothing wrong with, if you want to sell this thing as a flat white, there's nothing wrong with that. I don't want to make that into the problem, right? Like, yeah.
So
I don't know why we need all these drinks, though.
Well, let me ask you guys this question, because I was rolling this over, especially as, like, you know, I'm going through, like, Gibraltar, flat white, cappuccino, latte, like, dry cappuccino. Is that still a thing? Like,
those are words you could use in concert with each other. Right. Sure.
Sure. Yeah. You could order
that. But, like,
that.
There are plenty of cafes I've been to where, like, you walk in and it's, like, espresso, coffee, which is drip coffee, and, you know, latte is, like, on the menu. And looking back on that now, my impression is that, like, if I was to go talk to a barista, if it was at a cafe like that, like, I could say, hey, do you know a Gibraltar, or hey, can you give me 6 ounces of milk or whatever, and they totally would. But now we've, like, tried to formalize it,
yeah
and it's not a thing. Like,
and I understand the impulse to formalize these things, because I'm old enough to remember. I've been in coffee long enough. You know, we served macchiato, cappuccino, latte, my first job in Chicago. And the latte had 2 sizes, right?
Yeah.
And people would come in and be like, can I get just, like, a little less milk? Can I get, like, this size latte? I'll pay. I just want, like, a little less. And so I understand where that comes from.
Yeah.
Because, like, it's way easier to have this size drink on the menu than it is to, like, constantly play this game and make people feel really awkward and make people feel like, well, maybe I just need to go find a shop where they do it this size. Right. Like, so I guess I get that. But I feel like it has now taken the number of people who know what they want and what they actually like and shrunk it. Because when you were coming in and there were 3 options and you said, can you make it between these 2 sizes? You knew exactly what you were asking for. But when you come in now and say, can I get a flat white?
You, like, don't know what you're getting.
It's everyone's rolling the dice. Like, the barista is, the person who put it on the menu, you ordering it. Like,
yeah, and I think that's where where there is clarity in somebody's head, but not in the world.
Exactly.
And it's not, it just isn't quite as simple, because you have dialed in something and has become part of your personality. It's something that we've talked about before with, like, you can customize every aspect of your drink, right? How many exact pumps of this is in there, and how much is this? And you're getting something that is dialed in to 100% exactly what you want. And then you can never describe it, because that doesn't exist in the world except for in your head.
And you have to go through like every bullet point of everything that goes into it.
Yes, and then absolutely. People hate you. And that's a tough thing to do, like from a being in the world perspective.
That's fair.
But the thing I wanted to mention, so two parts about the Cena thing. One, I saw some other clips from that. Part of his journey right now is that he traveled a lot, but didn't eat out a lot because, because he's, you know, a super cut guy.
Yeah. He's got
so his current wife has brought him into being more of a serious food person. So this is actually something he's fairly new to.
Yeah.
Which I think makes sense based on the context.
Yeah, exactly.
That makes a lot of sense. But the part that I did want to go back to, because the part I agree with that is a little bit different where I'll diverge, is that I fundamentally agree that there are certain baseline things that define not necessarily qualitatively what a place is, but like who are they? Is if you order this thing, you'll understand who they are. Not necessarily judging them on that, although there's some things I will judge them on their more simple things.
Sure.
Right? You might judge a bakery on its laminated pastry. You'll judge it on a croissant. Right? And you're like, oh, I can judge that. But I just say, what is your choice about who you are as what kind of croissant you're making?
Sure.
Right? If I go and order a margarita pizza at a place and they say they're Neapolitan, okay, that is a defined thing that has a characteristic. And then which version of that are you doing? Or if you go order a taco somewhere, you'll know right away, oh, are you Americanized? Are you Tex-Mex? Are you Northern Mexican? Are you Southern? Like, it defines who you are. And it's not necessarily that, oh, you made it this way, you're wrong. It's, oh, this tells me who you are. And then also tells me, do I want to go back to your place?
And to piggyback off of that, the thing that stuck out to me most was he actually caught himself because he said, oh, you're not a coffee shop. But then he walked it back and he said, you're not coffee first.
And that was the part I agreed with most.
That was a good nuance. Yeah. That was a good nuance.
I think that's the thing.
I see exactly what he means by that.
That absolutely. Thing mattered the most to me because I think that was the truth out of the whole thing is, yes, if what you're getting is way weird in ratios, there's probably an acceptable range of what is typically known as a flat white. It's probably not 1 ounce of milk and it's probably not 20. But maybe it's averaging 5 ± 2 or whatever. Who cares?
I don't care. But I think the fact that we don't have that information, like if that information existed, it would be at this table, right? Like sure. We would know that we're the people who would know. But I think that's such a hole in the argument, right? We always resist standardization in this industry. Yeah.
But you know what I would say though is if you're going to, I really like the coffee first place because my assumption with ordering a flat white at a coffee first place would be that they would have done their homework, so to speak, on what that drink was to them. And it isn't going to be necessarily like the specific ounces like we're talking about, but it's going to be some form of a milk-based beverage that alludes to their specific profile.
They will have made a purposeful choice on what they want to serve as that.
Agreed.
And I think that's the thing that matters most is they made a specific choice and that they care that that was a choice they made. And I think that is the most important thing is, yes, there are places that are coffee first, and there are places that are hang first, there's places that are vibe first, and there's places that are food first. And I think knowing that about the place you're going does change the way you hang out there. Hey, it might be a place you hang out for hours and you grab a sandwich. And you'll drink a coffee, but yeah, you're really grabbing a sandwich.
Sure. Yeah.
That part was good. I think that made a lot of sense.
I think it's a good nuance. And I think where I want to go with it is to say that the two things, let's go two things because they're intertwined in my head. The first thing for me is that I know to almost 80 to 90% accuracy what kind of place I'm dealing with by the smell when I walk through the door.
Oh, absolutely.
So that's where I'm at in my journey. So like I have a sort of different take on that. Like I agree with the idea okay. that like I want to know if a place is coffee for like I said, it's a good nuance and I do that and that's how I do it. And there are smells I smell when I walk into some places. And like, again, like if it's food that I smell, I'm like, this is a food place. And if it's a certain quality of coffee that I smell, if it's a certain, like it's not too burned, it has like obviously some aromatic just draw to it. Like, all right, we're on to something here. Right. But if I smell like burned coffee, flavorings, sugar, you know, like basically it smells like someone's put like hot sugar water over the vent, like then I know, right? So, well, so I do this too, and so I'm sympathetic. I think, and even as that comes out of my mouth, I'm like, that's there. I could shoot holes in that.
Yeah.
And the biggest hole I would shoot in Cena's thing is this is maybe the most esoteric and maybe the newest and least defined version of. Of espresso and milk that you could use to make that determination.
Well, let me just bring this back to you though. We've talked about education. We've talked about the nerdiness and the arrogance that we can, you know, hold over people here. If he's really this new in his coffee journey, like, did he just find like the first nuanced drink that's not a latte, right? You know, is this conversation like, let's say he like all of a sudden finds us and is like, these guys are assholes, right? Like,
yeah, I'm an asshole. That's right? I'm fine with that. Like, so, and you're John Cena. Why would you care? But
like, that's where he's at, and he's like dug into his internet research on this, right? Yeah.
I think he's more like actually traveled the world and experienced for sure. versions, you know, interpretations he likes and interpretations he doesn't, right? Like, yeah. So, and I give him credit on that. I just can't accept making determinations based on the thing that is newest and least defined in this arena.
I'll give you
for
that.
The longest time, my favorite thing to drink in coffee was a latte, you know, for a long time.
It's and still now one of my favorites.
And now I'm where I am, right? Where I don't even want to look at espresso, right? Like, and like, give me just yeah. whatever out of an AirPod, please. Right. So like, I just think that like if you're looking for greater nuance than kind of the most defined, if you're new to it and you're looking for greater nuance than the most like defined and most common thing, that speaks a lot of like I'm intentionally trying to, well, maybe it's not snobbery, but I'm intentionally trying to bracket a lot of what I could enjoy.
Well, let me throw otherwise. This back at you because, you know, I'm like I said last episode, I think I'm debating getting an espresso machine at home. I go out to get a latte or a cappuccino or whatever it is because I don't have the skill to foam milk like these guys do. Like I was at Mello the other day, we were getting breakfast, and immediately when I was thinking about food and coffee places, I was like, which is Mello? Like they're close to either of those.
Oh yeah.
I would say, and for me, like, I love hanging out there. If I can sit outside at that porch and get a breakfast burrito.
It's like the best Flatiron building in the city. Yeah, I think. One of the best.
Shout out to Rella, also in a Flatiron building.
Heck yeah, yeah. There's another really nice one down on East Ave. Anyway, sorry. Yes, oh, you're I love fine. That porch. I love it's, that porch. It's coffee outside. Couldn't drink coffee
yes,
outside.
Yes, coffee outside.
Couldn't drink. I was like, I literally made a Chemex and wanted to take it out on my porch and started pouring. I was like, ugh.
Oh. But anyway, like, where was I going with that? I don't even remember.
Food versus coffee. Like, food versus coffee. What's the emphasis?
But like I got a great latte there. Like it was, the texture was perfect for me. Like the ratio they did was great, whatever it was. I still don't know. It's in the bullish cup. Like, you know, is it 6 ounces, 8 ounces? I don't know anymore. Right. So, but
you liked it.
I loved
yeah,
it.
You liked it.
You know,
it
and,
matters a lot more.
That was the right thing.
And I would say with you also though, like, I get more nuance and like flavors and tasting notes and things out of drip coffee or, you know, pour over, whatever it may be. And
long live the auto drip.
So no, I'll never go back. Although I did debate, what is it? The Eldon Fellows?
The Aiden.
Yeah.
The Aiden.
Yeah.
I debated cause it's on sale right now, guys.
But yeah. That's my next treat of a piece of technology. But I think what I kind of wanted to go back to was when you said you're going into a place and you do it by smell. So I bring back to one of my friends, Chris Clemens. One of our longtime arguments was when I said, I don't need to go eat there. I know how good it is before I go.
Sure.
And it drives him absolutely insane.
Wow.
Now, to me, at this point, I'm not saying that it's not going to be good or bad, you know, purely, but I can judge if a place has basically the potential to be great just on reading the menu and looking at a picture of the place. Yeah. Right. And coffee shops, I think there's, to me, I can, without having gone to the place, I can make a decent assessment on three pieces of information. One is a picture of the place. Two is whatever the menu is. And three, just looking at their bags, right?
Yep.
If you're looking at the bags, that's, to be honest, that's the easiest one.
Dang.
We dropped our section.
Not just on the visual, but just looking.
Plainest bags.
Not just the visual, but just saying, hey, like, what coffees are you selling?
Sure.
Yeah. Right. What coffees are you selling? How are you portraying them? Right. You have a clarity of what you're doing that I can tell basically on a picture of the place. Look at just reading the menu and then looking at the bags. I can take away the picture or take away one of those and I can do a good job. If I have all three, that's almost a guarantee that I am close to correct, right? And yeah. It doesn't mean they're necessarily going to roast exactly the way I like, but at least it opens up the potential that it's going to be a place I love.
Yeah.
If I look at the menu and I see pressed sandwiches and blended drinks with lots of pump style flavors, the likelihood that I'm going to like what they're doing is very low because that's not what I want.
Right.
If the menu, you know, if it's a stark white place with a, you know, the letters on the little pins.
On the board, yeah.
The pins on a board, and the menu is like 8 items long, and then they have origins and they have roast level on the bags. Okay, I have a pretty good idea that it has the chance to be a place I'm going to really like. It doesn't guarantee it.
Even some of those places miss.
Absolutely.
I was
going to
say.
It opens up the possibility.
Sure.
Before it was more of a higher percentage. Now it's become de rigueur for modern specialty coffee shops.
Yeah, of course.
Before it was like clear that at least that was a higher percentage. Now it's a lower percentage, but at least it opens up the door.
Well, and I think, you know, I think what we're coming to is we can agree that there are characteristics that have been perpetuated through places we like and places we don't like, places that strive to be coffee first and places that strive to be a cool place to sit, or places that are just simply there for convenience. And those things will change depending on who we are. You know, you talked about smell. One of the things for me is drinkware. Like if I see the cups that you've got and you're serving me in a latte or a milk-based drink in this versus you're serving it to me in this, you know, it's going to give me an impression right away of how you're brewing and what your attitude is.
Sure. So that's a touch. Yeah. So I was talking about sight. You're talking about smell.
Yeah.
You're talking about touch.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like we're really going through a lot of the sense stuff before we get to taste, right? How many other senses can we use to figure out a place before we taste?
Well, and I'll tell you this last one. The last one for me is where I come down to like a John Cena standpoint is the texture of your milk. Like your drip coffee might be excellent, but if you foam me a latte or a milk-based drink and it is just like huge bubbles, completely separated, you know, whatever it is, like I'm never going back. Like, but if you get
your finger over the board,
are you outside of your mind?
No, I know, there's always a grammar and a vocabulary and a design sense and like, but there's nothing better than being surprised by a place.
100%.
Like it doesn't happen often. That's why it's surprising. This is kind of side note. Like, I feel like there are some people who want to go out and be surprised. And so they try to convince you that, no, this place is really great because, and then when you try it, you're like, it's the same. I get that you want to have that experience, but I'm not having that experience. But yeah, I think like all of these are in some ways more esoteric and more removed from what Cena says, right? than saying like I judge them based on an actual drink. We're talking about the senses, the sensory experience before we ever get there or see a drink or taste one, right?
Yeah,
sure. So like, but I guess some ways we're being worse
always.
But we also have more experience in this, right? Yeah. If he's new to this. Like, if you're new to this...
He's discounting himself out of a lot of quality places.
If you're new to this, be quiet.
Yeah, and learn. I think, to be fair, I have a standard order if I go into a coffee place, if I'm trying to figure out if I like it.
Well, Wade orders a shot and a cup.
Shot and a drip.
Yeah, and that is, like, it is the way you won. You are also telling the barista that you are a serious coffee person, typically. I think it opens that up. I think it's a pretty standard order for a lot of...
What's yours?
Exactly the same.
Yeah.
Shot and a drip.
Shot and a drip.
Yeah. Because one, I want to see what are you doing. Then I ask a question like, are you on a blended new espresso? Do you have singles?
Exactly. Yep.
And then that opens up a conversation, but that is what I want to taste. And if you're, if you have special coffees, my answer to them is serve me whatever I should have.
See, and that's funny because I go in, I'm a vanilla latte. If I don't know you, I get a vanilla latte.
Oh, I love that.
Now, well, right. But if I like it, then I'm like, oh, your drip coffee must be good now. Now I'm going to go to that.
Interesting.
Cool.
Because I don't want to get a bad cup of drip is like the worst thing for me. If I go to a coffee place and I get a drip coffee and it's just hot, like it's like hot water and like burny flavor, like I don't even want to finish it, but I can choke down a bad latte.
That's why we have sidewalks to pour things on.
So we need more public planters for us to feed with bad coffee. Okay, so this is interesting, but, because you were getting into like signaling a little bit to a barista, like this is so that was the other thing for me, is that that Cena is a little bit, you know, it's not virtue signaling, but he is signaling a little bit, right? Can I tell you guys my favorite signaling backfiring story?
Oh, I love it.
Oh, of course.
Okay, so my mom and sister and her husband, they live in Tucson, Arizona, which is just a fantastic town.
There's a big coffee place out there. I don't know.
There are a lot of big coffee places out there. They're all wonderful. Cartel might be the one you're thinking of, because they have like a couple different locations.
And shout out to Joe Zilniarowski from Old Pueblo Grill, who's also from Tucson, Arizona.
Tucson's awesome. Gosh, it's the night of forgetting last names. Zach over at Whole Latte Love. He comes from that community, and he knows a lot of the people I know out there. I was at a Cartel location. And I was reading their pour over menu, and I was getting really into it, right? And I was excited about a couple different coffees, and I had to decide between them. And this was like $10 pour over. No, actually, I think this one was like $12.
Wow.
And this was years ago. So that was huge, right? Yeah. But I was like, you know, I'm on vacation. I'm in Tucson. I'm excited about this place. I want to try their best thing. And I see an offering on the menu that, to the Anglo mind, looks like the word Los Angeles. Right.
Okay.
So that's name of the farm, name of the region. I don't know exactly what it was, but I corrected myself and I thought, I know that the proper pronunciation of this term is Los Angeles, right? Because Los Angeles is how Americans say the name of a city in California.
Right.
Los Angeles is how you would pronounce the name of this farm. So I walk up and the person I'm with orders her coffee, and I go, can I get a pour over of the Los Angeles?
Stop it!
And this dude looks me dead in the eye and goes, the Los Angeles? Sure.
No.
So we got to be careful with the signaling thing, because whew, that one can come right back at you. And I'm like, yes, the Los Angeles. Yeah, that one.
And I think it's tough, right? When you do know more, right?
Right.
Like it's a tough balance, right? Absolutely. Because you do... I think there is a good balance of being respectful and a good balance of not being haughty and not being overly, you know, I'm lording this over you Frasier style.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes. Where we are better than you because we are pronouncing it correctly.
Exactly.
I love the balance of, oh, we're trying to be respectful, right? If I go into a Vietnamese restaurant, I'm not going to try to use all of the tonality of the Viet language
right.
to order what I'm ordering, Do I call it faux when I walk in? No. I don't. Do I try to say bun me correctly to use a little bit of tonality to show I'm caring? Yes. Right. I don't say bon me in Rochester, right?
And man, yes, that was great.
Right? There's a difference between a respectful, intentional usage of terms, and then sometimes we get caught yeah, with our
exactly
with our intentionality maybe raised a bit too much.
And I think that,
and I've done it too.
You only learn it as you get into more and more situations like that.
Yeah.
And the more you order these specialized things, and whether someone corrects you or you just kind of feel awkward doing it, or whether like you can tell what you did turn them off, like there are little corrections that happen. And so like Cena, if he's new to the thing, like probably hasn't had someone go like, you know, that's
you know, not your a drink,
universal
right?
thing is not at all universal. Right. Like, so it's anyway, like I wish John Cena all the luck in the world. I really do.
John Cena, he's
a great
entertainer. If you are listening to this, if we could have a conversation, that would be like a dream, dude. Like, I would
roll the dice.
Like, yeah, why not?
I can't. Can you imagine what this conversation would be? I think it would be like epic.
I think
John Cena would scare the shit out of me.
Yeah.
I don't think.
I think he would be into it.
I think he's an intense guy. I think he's a genuine guy, and I do like that he does seem to genuinely care about that. And, you know, I think that's a great first step towards being, you know, being somebody that is a good communicator about something, is caring.
Definitely. Yeah.
It's not the end. It's the start.
Yeah. I cared way before I knew how to communicate about coffee. That's, yeah. You know, yeah.
Aaron, where can people find your photography and other things you're doing?
AaronPascucci.com and on Instagram as Aaron Pascucci. You'll find me in the coffee shops in Rochester more than anything else.
Yeah. And Wade, where can people find more about Aporia Coffee and related places?
AporiaCoffee.com and Aporia Coffee Co. on Instagram. I remember last episode saying I was going to get more active on posting. I have a lot of plans and none of them have come to fruition yet, but you know, bear with me.
Yeah. And speaking of plans, the Lunchador Podcast Network is doing an event at the Rochester Fringe Festival on September 13th at 3:00 at the downtown branch of the public library. We're really excited to be doing that. If you tune into Just Can't Not or some of the other shows on the network, you'll also see a lot of Fringe previews that are happening now and roughly around the time where this is coming out, maybe a little bit before. But interesting time to listen to stuff like that. And if you want to hear other perspectives from people in the coffee side of things, we mentioned Rory Van Grohl from Ugly Duck Coffee. He has a new podcast on the Lunchador Podcast Network called Common Thread, where he talks about how hardcore music has affected his life and talking to other people, along with his the host, Greg Benoit from the Rhonda Coit Public Library. I gotta say, I've been really enjoying listening to it. You're going to learn more about a guy you might have known for a long time in the coffee shop. You're going to learn a lot more about him as a person, too. It's really a great listen. I highly recommend you check that out. And on that note, we're going to close out this episode of
Dialed In.
This has been a presentation of the Lunchador Podcast Network.
My new wrestling name is going to be The Main Body, built on blueberries, lobster rolls, and a fantastic accent that I definitely don't have.